The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this January 11th, 2020. It's my grandson's birthday today, 2022. And so, anyhow, we have a whole lot to talk about like we always do. We're going to get right to it. And tonight, our engineer, the guy that's there to make Joe and I sound good, is none other than Mighty Andrew.
Good evening, Pastor and everyone.
Good evening, Mighty Andrew. And way out yonder in Missouri, we have none other than the back roads. that Parson Joe Larson.
His child and forever I am. Glad to be here. Another night to be the watchman on the wall.
All righty, very good. We got a whole lot, Joe, to do tonight, so we want to get to it. First thing we need to do, we got prayer requests, and those are important because Pastor Bruce Pfeiffer has taken a turn for the worse. I just heard a while ago from his wife, his missus, and Michael Mahalik has also taken a turn for the worse, both of them. So let's pray for them. Folks out there, remember, they're both in ICU. Both of these men are ICU. Bruce is 89 years old. So, folks, he's had some other problems. Besides that, he was a diabetic and had some other ailments too. And so let's hold them up in prayer. We need all of you to pray for these two men out here tonight, all of you. So let's join us and help us. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to hold these two men up. Lord, and their families. We want to hold their families up too because, you know, we see how their families are hurting. And so we want to hold them up and ask, Father God, again, Lord, that you would continue. We were asking, Lord, that you would touch them, Lord, that you would heal them, be with them at this time, Lord. And Father God, we know you've told us to pray and pray without ceasing, and we do, and we are praying and continuously for these people and all people, so many people all over this world that we do pray for continuously. So again, Lord, it would be thy perfect, I pray that it is thy perfect will that you would touch and heal both of these people and restore them and bring them back to their families, Lord, and turn their desires towards you more and more every day in every way, Lord, that they might both hear those words from you. Well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen to that.
Joe, I'm trying to think. We have a number of different announcements we need to make. Oh, I know. Here it is. We had so many people, Joe, so many people missed the movie that we showed on January 6th. What really took place, Joe, what actually happened there, and if you look at what you saw happening, and then what the fake news media, what they so fake, the lying liberal media showed, what a contrast, what a difference. If you saw what actually happened, and then you look at that so-called select committee, oh my gosh, how how much they lie. Just unbelievable. We've never seen...
the select communists, you mean. It's not a committee. It's the select commie committee.
It is as illegitimate can be. And just unbelievable how they're lying. I've never seen lying taking... I mean, there's always been liars, but today, I don't know. It's just like the Olympics of lies being told. And that January 6th so-called...
It's a pandemic of lies. It's really... We're not having a COVID pandemic. We're having a pandemic of lies. This whole revolution that they're trying to force upon America is built on lies and deceit. And they have nowhere to go but to continue lying.
Absolutely. You know, and it reminds me of what it says over in Hosea chapter 4. And I think I want to turn over there really quick because, boy, this is, we're seeing this. Here's what it says in Hosea 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. And we should say, you children of America.
America, yeah.
For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth. There's no truth in NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, PMSNBC, public radio. There's no truth. There's no truth. There's no truth coming out of the Democratic Communist Collective.
Facebook, Twitter, you name it.
Right. And then it says, for there is no truth nor mercy. No, I guess there's no mercy. You've killed so many, you know, 150 million unborn children. You've killed thousands and thousands of nursing homes. Unbelievable the wickedness and the evil that they've done, and how how they celebrate in New York that the state legislator, how they cheer when they found out they could kill babies after they're born. These are a bloody people, Joe, a very bloody people.
Bloody people.
You know what? Speaking of that, hold on. I have an article here.
Well, you ought to do verse 2 before you just, because you just, what you just said, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood.
Yeah, and then it says here,
God, it was like God wrote that yesterday.
Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone dwelleth within there shall be languished with the beasts of the fields and the fowls of the heaven, and yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Joe, you know, do you think the land mourns when you have tornadoes like you had coming through Tennessee, through Kentucky? I mean, you have fires that rage across the country the way they have. You have all of this. Do you think the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, they mourn too when that happens?
They sure do.
Yeah, and so.
They certainly do.
And the water is being polluted because it's not because of SUVs. It's not because of global warming. It's because of man's sin. It's because of man's sin. Now, that reminds me. Here, this is an article from Right to Life of Northeast Ohio. Abortionist David Berkins appears to have purchased the Capital Care of Toledo, Toledo's last abortion facility. Berkins owns and operates. That's where we were down there. That's where I went to. We went and Pastor McTernan and Owens and I, when I went down there and I preached to those people down there. And it says here, Berkins owns and operates Northeast Ohio Women's Center, the bloody, bloody abortion mill here in Cuyahoga Falls that throws dead babies' bodies in the trash last summer. Berkins has rebranded Capital Care as Toledo's Women's Center, but will continue to offer only chemical baby kills at that location. That facility lost the license, which enabled it to commit surgical abortions back in September 2019. Thankfully, the Foundation for Life Toledo's Right to Life Group has purchased the parking lot across from the facility, and this will give local sidewalk counselors an edge in their advocacy, ensure that they will be able to continue reaching abortion-vulnerable women on the sidewalk, regardless of what happens moving forward. Now, let me tell you about this David Berkins. This guy Well, he ran the abortion plant. He worked for Planned Predators in Bedford when they were in Bedford before they moved down to Bedford Heights. And this cowardly little fellow, he also would swoop in. Now, at one time, he tried to hit me and in his car, and I called the police on him. But because he just nicked me, He, of course, he said it was an accident, this and that, so right. on and so forth. But there was a police report made.
It was an accident. You didn't get out of his way fast enough.
Yeah, well, guess what happened? Next to the bloody abortion mill was a Pizza Hut. And after we had gone out picketing at the abortion mill and witnessing out there and saving babies, we had gone to lunch. And as I was, after lunch, as I was walking out, here he was coming in. When he saw me, this bloody little man, when he saw me, he let out with a squeal, and he ran, Joe. And I didn't think this pudgy little fellow could run that fast, but that pudgy little David Birkins, like a little rat, he ran. And he was, you know, it was like, if I'd have been a baby, he would have killed me in a heartbeat. He's not afraid of any baby. I mean, he would take on any baby, okay?
Right.
But to face a man,
helpless ones in the womb, yeah.
Yeah, he was probably wetting his pants as that cowardly little fellow ran. And he ran, and I saw him. And to look at that little, weaselly little, weaving in and out between the cars to run as fast as he can to get back into the darkness, into the shadows. And that's bloody baby raping, child molesting, abortionist David Birkins.
Well,
and that's who that is.
He was running from you. He was running from the light and running from the word. And that's what probably frightened him the most, was you preaching him the word.
No, he's not going to be able to run from the Lord, I can tell you that. And so, anyhow.
We know somebody that tried it, didn't work well.
Yep. So here. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven. Yea, and the fishes of the sea shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for the people are as they that strive with a priest. He's talking about the priest that he sent to intercede, okay, between man and him. And they said, no, that's not what we want. First of all, we don't want to have to offer up sacrifice. We don't want to even have to acknowledge our sin, okay?
Right.
Therefore shalt thou that fall in the day, and the prophets shall also fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Well, you know why? What he did is he gave them prophets because of their wickedness that were even more wicked than them, and they took advantage of them. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. And look what's happening. You know, yesterday they were talking about, Joe, we have a crisis. We have a crisis. The children are committing suicide. And they blamed it on COVID. And I heard this on Fox News. And I heard blaming and saying COVID. No, those children are not committing suicide because of COVID. They're committing suicide, first of all, because of the wicked teachers, in the public school system that are instilling fear into those children. The fact that they're telling them, and the wicked government, the entirely wicked, you can blame Tony Fauci, you can blame the Democratic, the entire Democratic collective, Joe Biden, you're putting masks on these little children. Joe, when you're talking to people and you can't tell if they're smiling at you, you know, see, that's how you identify people, Joe, by their face. Did you know that?
Yeah, I kind of figured that out long ago.
So when you, and if somebody's smiling at you, normally that makes you more at ease than if they're not quite smiling at you.
Right. You can tell when they have that look of hate in their eyes.
Right.
You and I are used to that look.
And so here, you know, they're doing this to these children. This wicked, wicked public school system where they're teaching the children critical race theory to be ashamed. If you're white, you ought to be ashamed of being white. Going home and tell your parents you're ashamed of them because they're white. This is evil. And, you know, here the children, they're told one thing and then then they feel that they don't know what to think. They're confused. And then they're telling them, well, you may be a boy, but maybe you're really not a boy. Maybe you're a girl. Maybe you're just a girl with a boy's body. Maybe that's it. Maybe you need to go get some work done, some surgery. I mean, and you're confusing these children. You're confusing them, you know, You and I didn't have to go through that when we were growing up.
No, we weren't told that because we exist and live, we're destroying the planet. Our carbon footprint is helping destroy Mother Earth. And yeah, I mean, they have been destroying our children for a long time, these communists, these progressives. They've, like you said, they've dumbed them down. They've filled them full of fear. They've muddled their minds, and then now they've destroyed their education, put them, some of them, so far behind. A lot of them have dropped out of school. The damage is just untold. What's going to happen to the next few years to this group of children?
So, all right. Well, let's go back to where Psalm 40, and we read verse 4. Read verse 4.
Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies.
Turn aside to lies. Okay.
Sounds like Joe Biden and the whole Biden administration. Well, I got to throw this in. You know, Biden lied, people died. The different vet groups are out there. To make a long story short, there's one called Task Force Argo. The government is still fighting them, will not cooperate. In fact, it's keeping them from saving lives back in Afghanistan. They're still working, trying to get Americans and others out. And our State Department is still blocking their efforts. Remember, Biden, we're going to get everyone out that wants to come out. This man just cannot stop lying, and he continues to lie each and every day. And the lies get worse and bigger. And there's going to be a special place in the bed of hell for him.
Well, you're not kidding. You know, today I heard Joe Biden. I heard lying Joe Biden when he was there giving that speech, if you want to call it that. And Joe said this. Now listen to this. He said that, "I believe the good book." Now, can you picture Joe Biden? "I believe the good book," when it says that we are to love the good and hate the evil. That's what we do. Joe Biden is a liar. Joe Biden loves evil. Joe Biden loves abortion. Joe Biden loves sodomy. Joe Biden loves pedophilia. Probably bestiality. Who knows what else? He has demonstrated that. He is pushing for that. Joe Biden is a crook. And here to say this. And you know what he's doing, Joe? He's mocking God by doing that. He's mocking God when he says he believes in the Word of God, and then he makes a mockery out of it, Joe.
Oh, he does. Amos 5 explains it. In verse 14, it says this, "Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good." See, that's the part that he's saying, but he didn't say that, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live." He forgot to look at verse 14, or whoever wrote the piece for him. Then it says, "Establish judgment in the gate," in the government. "It may be that the Lord of God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph." Well, he's not part of the remnant. He's part of the Antichrist system.
Joe, I want to go back first to chapter 39 and verse 11. Read verse 11 in chapter 39.
"When thou with rebukes doth correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah."
Okay, so now here, he's telling you that, first of all, when you rebuke, are we supposed to rebuke?
We're supposed to reprove, and if that doesn't work, then we rebuke, yes.
Rebuke, and then what else? Exhort. So when once we reprove them and rebuke them for their iniquity, then we exhort them to go and sin no more, huh?
Right, exactly.
And so here, do we have a problem today, especially from the pulpits, for having enough courage to stand up and to rebuke? Remember John the Baptist when he said, "Herod."
Yeah.
Remember Peter and Paul when they rebuked those, the Simon, the Pharisees, but the, I was trying to think of those soothsayers or wizards.
Right.
And boy, the Lord Jesus, did he really go after...
Yeah, he called people sons of vipers. He really rebuked some people with some very strong language.
The Pharisees said, now, the pastors of old, even when you and I were younger, the pastors had the courage. They would get out there, and when people were saying the things that they're saying today publicly in the media, the pastors would get out, and they would openly rebuke that person, and loudly and very clear. It seems like there's only a few left today, only a few pastors left today.
Right. The rest are like crickets. They're very, very quiet.
There's a dearth of courage, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. All now, over this country.
A dearth of courage, a lack of courage comes from a lack of what?
Faith.
Lack of faith. You're absolutely right. So here, go to 40 and read verse 9.
40 in verse 9, all right. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest.
All right, so here now, again, I wanted to make something, just make a quick little announcement here. That is, a number of the ladies out there have been very concerned about this cough that I have. Well, a number of us got... what would be maybe a very mild case of the COVID or an Omicron. I just had maybe a sniffle. I had a runny nose for about a day and a cough, and I thought nothing of it, but I was talking to Wendy Wilson, and she's been doing a lot of research into this, and she said that as many people have, as a result of even having a very mild thing, a cough that can last weeks, but fear not, dear ladies, because Wendy says she can cure this in 7 to 10 days with her elixir. So she's fixing me up a batch of stuff. And
oh, good. For a moment there, I thought she was going to put a pillow over your face.
Well, there's someone that would like to do that. Okay. Anyhow, so I just wanted to... and to say that. Now, I have preached righteousness in the congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. You know, there are those that refrain in their lips. Those, Joe, the clergy, there are those doctors, those politicians, especially in the media. Remember in Hitler's Germany, they tried to justify their collusion with evil by falsely saying that, the Bible teaches us we have to obey the government, even if we don't like it, even if it's a corrupt government, even if it's evil, we have to obey it. That is not what the Word of God teaches at all. It's exactly the opposite.
Well, what happened is Hitler stood and talked to the different pastors and told them if they would just shut up, they could stay safe and keep their congregations and basically out of fear for being in trouble with the government and fear of Hitler's wrath, they all capitulated. And again, it was lack of faith, and they were led by fear, not faith.
Well, Joe, can you, for these people, that these pastors, remember, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. But see, those that don't stand and do and speak out, they remain silent when they should speak out. And God's Word, the Bible, is very clear on that. Even Abraham Lincoln, remember, he said, for those that remain silent when they should speak out makes cowards of men and destroys nations.
Right.
And he was right.
Nations, that's the big line right there, because that's what's happened. Because of the silence, this nation has been being destroyed because too many are silent, too many are afraid to speak out, will not do it for fear.
So, and that shouldn't be, Joe. That should not be.
No, should not be.
Well, look, we're, Peter said it, we must obey God rather than man, right?
Rather than men.
Now, he didn't stutter, did he?
No, he didn't. When he called us to be watchmen on the wall, he didn't say, if it's something that's not too scary, warn the people. But if it's really scary or you might get hurt, then, you don't have to speak out. He didn't say anything like that, did he?
No, he didn't even
he
know
said,
about
blood will be upon you if you do not warn the people.
All righty. And that's why we showed that film that we did Sunday night. It was very powerful, and it tells the truth. And we're going to be doing the same. But right now, Joe, we have a clip that we're going to play tonight and for the next half hour. And, folks, you really need to listen to this clip. And then I will try to give you just a little, if I can do that here. I may not be able to do it. I was going to give you just a little intro into that clip. And let me see if I can do it. And I think, okay. Now, this is a clip with a German lawyer. His name is Rainer Fulmeck. And he's leading up an international court for those that have violated the Nuremberg contract that we have, or the Nuremberg Code, I guess. He's got 50 lawyers that are working to bring these people, to bring Fauci to trial for premeditated manslaughter of millions, and Bill Gates. And so listen to this film, and we'll be back. It'll be for the up until the top of the hour. But go ahead, Andy, and take her away.
Welcome, everybody, to this interview. We're going to speak about the latest news when it comes to the pandemic politics around the world. And we are joined from Germany by Mr. Global's number one enemy, Dr. Rainer Fulmeck. Welcome.
Hi, Jesper. It's a pleasure.
And we are also joined by the EEC healthcare blog writer, Ulf Bittner. Welcome, Ulf.
Thank you very much, Jesper.
So, Rainer, last time we spoke with each other, you were gathering information on the latest things. And now I think many people are very curious on how is it going with your case. There has been many new informations coming out since we last spoke. Among other things, there is this Slovenian chief nurse who has revealed that in the bottom of these doses for vaccines, there are different numbers in the end, and some of these numbers are related to placebo, which has been given to politicians. Can you say if this is the case only in Slovenia, or if this is the case in other nations as well?
We haven't checked this, but it sounds plausible. In particular, after we have learned from Dr. Mike Eden and some others, scientists who he cooperates with, that it is possible to track the lot numbers. Some call them batch numbers, but in the United States, it's called lot numbers. So what he did, what he and his colleagues did, is they tracked some of the lot numbers, and they found out that some of the lots were, at least at first glance, harmless. I don't think any of these lots are harmless. We believe that if you use the mRNA technique, this definitely shuts off your immune system, which doesn't mean that you're going to die immediately. There's going to be a time when your body's immune system needs to fight back. And if it doesn't exist anymore, then it can't. But the much more, this is important, of course, but the much more important piece of information that we got from Mike Yeadon yesterday in particular, when we spoke with him on our Corona Committee session, is that there are certain lots that are extremely dangerous and lethal, deadly. And he followed these lots throughout the United States. Turns out that those lots that are, at first glance at least, harmless were only used in two or three of the states of the United States. There's 50 of them, as we all know. But those that turn out to be extremely lethal, with death figures of 1,000 or more, they were used in 32, 34, 36 of the states of the United States. So what this boils down to, and this cannot be a coincidence, we do not have an innocent explanation for this, is that the three manufacturers, which he and his team took a closer look at. That is BioNTech, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, that they are experimenting with lethal dosages. They're trying to find out what dosage is lethal because, and this is what it boils down to, this is about population reduction. Now, if you're going to use deadly doses right from the start, that's going to scare off everyone. That's why they're experimenting with the right dose that'll kill off 10% or 5% or 20%. We'll learn more about this. But what this means in the legal analysis is this is no negligence. They're not making mistakes here. There is no innocent explanation for this, but this is, as Mike Eden put it, and we agree with that as lawyers, this is compelling evidence for premeditated mass murder. And what this translates into in legal cases is that in the United States, for example, we're now talking about not just damages, but we're talking about punitive damages. Punitive damages come into play whenever you're dealing with a bad actor who is intentionally doing something harmful. And that is what we're dealing with here. It's the makers of the vaccines. It's the people who, the politicians who advertise them. It's the mainstream media. It's the doctors who administer the shots. They're all in it. And of course, these huge pharmaceutical and tech companies who are in it, they're going to have to feel the pain from this. And that's what punitive damages are there for. You don't just get the actual damage that you suffered. And we believe that it's at least simply everyone suffered damages. And it's probably going to be at least $1 million per person. But if you add on punitive damages, 21 times the actual damage, 50 times the actual damage, maybe 1,000 times the actual damage, because these are very terrible crimes against humanity. We're not just talking about regular crimes. If you add this on to this, then this means that the defendants in the cases that are now coming up will not be able to pay for this. So we're going to have to take them apart.
And so when you say, let me just ask you, when you say that the doses were much more lethal, does that apply for both Moderna and Johnson & Johnson and all of the brands?
No, they only took a look at three of the vaccine makers: Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and BioNTech Pfizer. Those three, that there's no room for error here. They're doing this on purpose. They're intentionally trying to find out what dosage to use in order to kill people.
And this is planned.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
100%.
What?
100%.
There's no doubt about it. There's no room for error here.
Could you please tell us a little about the interview with Sam White, Dr. Sam White? He mentioned about this app and this batches. And you remember the week before you had the session with Sam White?
Well, the session with Sam White dealt with, we had talked to him before that. He came on our Corona committee because he was going to explain about what had happened to him in the United Kingdom. And the last time we spoke with him, he was a doctor who had come out with a video, just an 8-minute video, in which he explained in very simple terms that the so-called vaccines and the PCR test, all of the anti-corona measures make no sense, but rather they're dangerous. And he was about to lose his license. We told him, of course, that he would get all the support that we could muster for him, and that we would put him in touch with all the right people. Now, in the meantime, this is the second time he came on our session. He explained to us that he won a gigantic victory before the High Court in England. And he didn't just stop at that because he also turned around and he said, I'm not going to leave it at that. They're supposed to pay for my legal expenses. They haven't done that yet. And he filed a criminal complaint against them. This criminal complaint, he explained to us, was then referred to the International Court of Justice, a criminal court of justice in The Hague. I don't know what's become of it yet, but I'm going to follow up on it. And when we spoke to him at that very same, on that very same occasion, our friend Deepali Oja, who is a member of the Indian Bar Association, she's a very young lawyer from India, but has lots of experience already. And when we realize that we're talking about similar issues, not just similar factual issues, but also similar law, I connected him with Deepali so that now his lawyers and she are in touch with each other. The most important thing about Deepali is that they have filed a criminal complaint in India. This is a case against Bill Gates for premeditated murder. And if worse comes to worse, and I think it is going to come to this, he's going to get the death penalty in India. So why not team up Sam White with Deepali Oja and her team? But he didn't talk about the batches. I don't think there's a mistake. You must be mistaken as far as that's concerned. He only talked about his case and how they were trying to get rid of him. The system tried to get rid of him and how he fought back and he's winning.
Good. It's true. Mm-hmm. And then we are back to the interview with Mike Jeden and those apps and those things that you can track those batches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's Mike is a he's not just a very, very accomplished scientist with lots of experience. He's been in the business, I think he said, for 36 years or so. So he must have started out doing what he does when I started out doing what I do as a lawyer. And he explained to the public, of course, he's under attack. He's left his home country. He's now living in the southern half of the United States because he thinks that it makes much more sense for him to be where he can educate people, where he can help educate people. And also, I think he feels safer in the United States than he does in the UK. But the most important thing to know is that they, of course, just like with everyone else who criticize the efforts of our governments, which are not our governments, keep that in mind, is that, of course, he's being framed as a right-wing conspiracy theorist. They're trying to make him look like he's after fame. He says, I'm not after fame. I'm basically a shy person. I know he is. He's a good friend of mine. He is a shy person. He's not looking for fame. He's after money. No, he's not after money. He sold a business, which he and a few friends of his business partners founded a few years ago. He sold it 5 years ago and he made enough money. He doesn't need any money. He's not after money. He's losing money, actually. And he explained that to us yesterday because he's being thrown off all the seats of that he had with some of the corporations whom he advised. So he's not making any money. He's losing money. And the third thing is that who is he to talk about these things? Well, if it's not him, who else is qualified? I mean, there's no one there who's any more qualified than he is. And for the very first time, he talked about his credentials. He said, listen, I don't do this. I'm an Englishman. But in the United States, it seems to be normal that you brag. So this is what I'm going to do now. I'm going to tell you I graduated at the top of my class. And by far, that's the only time I ever heard him talk like that. But he's telling us the truth. There's no one more qualified to speak about these things, the PCR test in particular, than he. So he is going to be our star expert witness on our upcoming criminal case against these four bastards, Drosten, Fauci, Tedros, and Bill Gates. And I think he's going to cut a very, very, very impressive figure.
And it's not only those four persons that you mentioned there. We also have some politicians in Sweden who are now discussing on how to implement vaccine passports in our country. And if we go back to the PCR test that you were speaking about here, in the United States, the CDC have stopped their recommendation regarding the PCR tests due to the fact that these tests cannot distinguish between between a normal seasonal flu and coronavirus. So despite this fact, we still have recommendations in Sweden that you should estimate if someone has COVID-19 by doing the very same PCR test that United States now have stopped recommendation. So how do you think that this will play out in Sweden with all of the persons recommending people to take the PCR test in order to say if they have corona?
Well, here's the thing. It's a surprising 180 degree turnaround that we heard from Fauci. I mean, he's given some indications a couple of months ago that he too knows that at 35 cycles of amplification, the PCR test doesn't make any sense anymore, because at least you end up with at least 97% false positives. It's not just him saying that, but it's also Mike Eaton who said that. But this is 3, 4, 5 days ago. This is the first time that he came on public television and told everyone in no uncertain terms that the PCR test cannot tell you anything about infection. And that is the truth. We know that that's the case, because it cannot distinguish between dead and live matter. And most importantly, the only way you can get infected is by way of a whole virus entering your cells. And the PCR test doesn't test for a whole virus. It only tests for fragments. Now, a group of judges who are in close cooperation with me here in Germany, they have asked me, why is he doing that? This is crazy. This is kicking the legs out from under all of these measures, because the PCR test is the only basis for any and all of the measures. I have no idea why he's doing this. I think that maybe they're doing it because they think that it doesn't make a difference anymore, because the train is already rolling and people are not listening to these little details anymore. Well, he's about to learn that this is not true, because the courts of law will listen to this. I know it's very hard, because here in Germany, when I filed the cases that I filed against Drosten, amongst others, the court didn't want to look into any of this. In fact, they didn't even want to deal. They didn't even want to give me a hearing. But it's changing. And I think it's changing in particular in some of the courts in the United States. We have very high hopes for another case that was filed in South Africa a couple of weeks ago, after many months of work that went into this, lots of energy. Many of the scientists who testified on the Corona Committee are also experts on that case. So I do think that this is going to be a turnaround. This is going to be a turning point. It's to us here in northern Germany, many of us are looking closely at Sweden. I have a few friends who are spending their time in Sweden and are saying, look at this. This is completely different. Everything is just like normal, unlike here in Germany. People are walking around with no masks on. They're even going to the shopping malls with no masks on. So I don't know what to make of this, but that is the picture that we're getting here. I don't think that ultimately the question of whether or not they're following the rules will make a difference, because as we all know, the PCR test is the basis for any and all of this. And it doesn't make a difference, but all of us have suffered damages, even if it's only pain and suffering, but it's, we believe it's at least $1 million per person. And that's why we think if you add on to this, the punitive damages, it's going to be enough money to create a whole new, more humane and better society.
And when you spoke about the lethal actions, or the mortality and the dangerousness, or how you say, about the vaccines in the US, how much have people been damaged compared to the normal cases of vaccines?
It is very hard to tell right now, because even though Dr. Mike Yeadon explicitly looked only at the data from the United States, he looked at the VAERS system, vaccine adverse events register system, I think that's what it's called. And he only tracked these three vaccine makers. But I think it's representative. The results that he came up with must be representative, but because it's the same all over the world. It looks as though, and you have to keep in mind, only between 1 and 10% of all the actual adverse reactions are really being reported. There's heavy underreporting, even in normal times. Now, these are not normal times. We're dealing with crazy times with psychopaths and sociopaths who are running our governments, who are in the seats of the in the driver's seat at the mainstream media. So they're doing everything they can to keep doctors from reporting any of these cases. So we believe that less than 1% of the actual cases are being reported. But even if you take these figures, you end up with at least 500,000 deaths after vaccination, and you end up with millions of very serious adverse reactions. Now, the new figures that we've just come to know come from a life insurance company from Indiana. You may have heard of this. The CEO of this life insurance company said that, and it's a big life insurance company with $100 billion in assets, I think. And he says, the CEO says, that over the span of this past year, there is excess mortality of 40%. That is due to the measures, It's not just postponed surgical interventions. It is the masks that are dangerous to our health, as we all know. But of course, most of this is due to the so-called vaccines. 40% excess mortality. He says in normal times, 10% excess mortality is a catastrophe. 40% is practically totally unheard of. So slowly but surely, these things cannot be swept under the rug anymore. There is going to be huge excess mortality as far as I'm concerned. I've been wondering where are the cases, but all of a sudden we can see them through these data, through the VAERS register, and also through the excess mortality rates that this guy from this One Life, I think, is the name of the company, from the CEO of this company.
And this is 100% so high as 40% over the last year?
Yes.
Good. Very good.
And I need to ask Dr. Mike Eden, who is an expert on laboratory work, has he examined what it is in these vaccines that makes them so dangerous? I mean, we've been speaking about graphene oxide last time we spoke, but you didn't want to go there as much as now. Maybe how do you have any idea of what it is in these vaccines that make them so lethal?
We asked him that. Dr. Vodak, who was also with us on our show, on our session, he asked him that. Viviana asked him that. He says he doesn't know, but it is definitely deadly. So the thing is, we kept asking, who knows about these things? Do our governments know this? Because they're the ones who admitted these vaccines. Or it's not our governments here in Europe. It's the totally corrupt leadership of the EU under this complete criminal, Ursula von der Leyen. They admitted this. Well, why did they do that? Upon the suggestion of the EMA. And what is going on here? Who is checking what's in the vials? No one. They simply trust the makers of the vaccines. They simply trust the killers. That's what it boils down to. So we don't know what's in it. We know that in some of the vials there's graphene oxide, but not in all of them. They may be testing out anything. It could be any kind of poison. You have to keep in mind that any vaccine is a poison. It's just the dosage that makes a difference between what makes a vaccine and what's a poison. The thing about these vaccines, this is what Mike Eden rightly pointed out, they're not vaccines, because for something to be a vaccine, it has to make you immune. It has to immunize you against the disease. And these vaccines don't do that. At best, and we're not even sure if that happens, they protect you from serious cases, from serious adverse events, but they do not make you immune. And that's why many of the people who have been talked into getting the shots, who have been lied to in order to get the shots, are now beginning to wake up and asking themselves, what have we done? It doesn't make a difference. We still have to wear masks. We still have to social distance ourselves. We still can't, and we're not vaccinated unless we get the next shot and the next shot. And this is another thing, another myth that Mike Yeadon yesterday clarified for us. Vaccines don't need to be taken over and over and over again. Either they work or they don't work. The only exception may be, what's the one that protects you against blood poisoning? That may be an exception. But as far as all of the other so-called vaccines are concerned, one shot should be enough. And what are they doing now? They're trying to introduce another shot every 6 months. Actually, some of these idiots here in Germany are talking about another new shot every 3 months. Makes no sense.
Rainer, to make it very clear, this is not vaccines. This is a genetic medical experiment.
Yeah, that's what it is. This is what Professor Alexandra Orion-Cote explained to us. She's also very experienced. She used to work for the French government. And she says, I don't like to use the term experimental gene therapy, because this is not a gene therapy. Gene therapy means someone who has a broken gene needs a new one. But what they're doing here is they're introducing stuff into us which they don't even know. They're not fixing a gene that is defective. They're experimenting, and as we now know, they're trying to kill us.
And you said that they are not testing the doses that come from these manufacturers. But on the other hand, they are keeping the deals that they seal with these companies secret for at least, I believe, 55 years. So as a lawyer, how would you say that this would play into the possibility of getting these people in jail?
Well, but here's the thing. In a case like this, which is quite complicated, you have to take a look at what we call the totality of the evidence. What do we see? Well, we can see there's only that our governments, or what we think are our governments, they're really the puppets of the other side. They're pushing only one story. There's this one jerk who runs the German equivalent of the American CDC, the German Robert Koch Institute. His name is Wheeler. He told us right at the beginning of this pandemic, you must follow my orders, wear masks, you have to social distance yourself, et cetera, without asking any questions. What is this? This is fascist. It doesn't have anything to do with democracy. That's fact number one. Fact number two is, in the meantime, we know they've been lying to us. Everything they told us is a lie. We know that because, for example, there are no asymptomatic infections. And even if there were, Mike Yeadon explained that yesterday, they don't play a role. But there are no asymptomatic infections. That is lie number one that they needed in order to make everyone afraid of everyone all over the world. This lie was invented by Professor Drosten, Professor Dr. Drosten, who's neither a professor nor a Drosten. He's a fraud. He's a criminal. And lie number two is, of course, the PCR test, as we now know, simply because...
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.